My name's Jacqueline. I experienced a loss in 2019, quite early on, and that was my first loss. I already have a son, who I think was three at the time. So all of the challenges that that brings anyway. And then after the loss, I actually got pregnant quite quickly, and it sort of, I suppose it brought a whole host of sort of other issues. I was at a point of waiting for my body to, everything to heal, and get back to a normal. And obviously it didn't, because I got pregnant so quickly. And with my subsequent pregnancy, then it took a while for it to kind of sink in. And it actually took a while for even sort of the kind of medical side of things for them to even confirm a due date, because they had nothing to kind of work off. Yeah, I think I was six, was I about 16 weeks before, like, until they actually agreed, yes, you're 16 weeks. So I had kind of gone back to the GP, a couple of times, saying, well, things aren't back to normal yet, when should I expect? And they just kind of kept on fobbing me off. Then I, the final time that I had gone, they had said, like, I was like, look, it's not, my cycle's not back. I'm not feeling myself. I'm feeling this and that. And they kind of put it down to depression, to be honest. So it was literally, I don't know what in my head had then told me, before I started on kind of antidepressant medication, I was like, I'll just do a test just in case before I start this medication. And that's kind of how I had started to realize that I was pregnant. I think that was about 10 weeks I would have been at that point. And then I kind of didn't even have the normal process after that, where, I would have gone for like the first scan, because everything, I then had to go for an early pregnancy scan. And then I kind of, everything triggered from that. So everything was just a little bit up in the air. It was a bit ski whiff for the first couple of weeks. And I say, I think I was 16 or 17 weeks. So that was kind of 6 weeks of not knowing where I stood before they were able to then, because I had gone and got one scan and they said I was this far, and then the next scan couldn't agree. So just a lot of unease before I could kind of settle in my own mind that this is happening. And then I suppose on top of that, you have all of those worries anyway with a pregnancy after miscarriage. You're kind of expecting the worst. So every scan I had gone to, I was kind of in the back of my head, I was like, I'm going to go here and there's going to be nothing on the screen. They're not going to find anything. Or it was just a very sort of turbulent start, which was tough.
A lot of additional uncertainty, which is the last thing you really want in a pregnancy after a miscarriage. There's enough of it already, really, isn't there?
Definitely.
With family and friends, I guess it was probably a difficult time for them in kind of knowing what you needed, because it wasn't very clear cut in terms of what was going on. Who was around you at this time, and what was the best support you got?
I think in our situation, we didn't have a whole lot of support. I think even from my miscarriage, it's not that my family were non-supportive, but it's just something that I don't think is spoken about, in my family. I never had the feeling that I had someone there that I could go to and I could just let everything go with. So we actually didn't tell it. Well, I didn't tell anybody that I had miscarried in the first place, because it was so early on. And from things that maybe family or friends had said about maybe other people who had experienced loss, was kind of like, oh, but it was early. Just get on with it. And like, then I very much internalized all of those comments, and that had been made maybe in passing, maybe about someone that was external to them. And I know that because they were my family, they probably would have been supportive, but I couldn't help but internalize all of those flyaway comments that it didn't matter as much. And my mom actually experienced a stillbirth. So it's, you're always kind of putting it back to that, well, that was harder, that was worse.
Well, that's
That was a
also
lot.
difficult, isn't it? That kind of comparison of loss, because it's not really a thing, but it's easy to fall into that way of thinking.
Exactly. And it's hard to explain to anybody. No one specifically said to me, that I didn't have a right to kind of mourn a loss or to talk about the loss. But I think just that feel of it not being a spoken about thing, or it being kind of a, you needed to do it behind closed doors just made me really, really take it all in and just not talk about it. I was aware that, you know, losses did happen. I probably wasn't aware at how common it was, but I was just kind of like, well, obviously other people have this and they just get on with it. So that's just what I'm going to have to do and just live my life and just never mention it again.
Do you think it would have helped in retrospect, or do you think that was what was right for you at the time?
I think probably that reaction was probably the right one for me at that time. What I, if I was going to kind of have a wish list and dream of anything, I kind of wish that people just talked about it more. You know, if 5 years before it happened to me, I had had more positive experiences of people talking about it, I think then that would have really opened the doors for me to feel comfortable in talking to other people or reaching out for help. There's so many different channels that I'm now aware of that I wasn't at the time and that weren't communicated to me at the time. And then I just think if people just spoke about it as less of a taboo, you know, if it does then happen to you, then you're kind of already paving the way for them to then be more comfortable to talk about it. And if I'm being quite honest, I probably wouldn't have been open to any kind of emotional support because I would have just shut it down. But I think if the groundwork had been there, then I maybe would have been more open to it at the time.
With friends and family, I guess sometimes you might feel like you're taking on their discomfort if you talk about something like this, because you're sort of aware that they don't really know how to deal with it or how to help you, because as you say, there's very little talk about it. If you didn't really talk much to people about your loss, how were people about your subsequent pregnancy? Were they aware at that point that there was these additional anxiety?
Yeah, so I think at that point, you know, I think probably my husband had told the closest people to us, so they kind of knew. Again, I think it's just kind of an unsaid attitude in maybe my family, maybe kind of a broader range of people, that it's nearly like a life to replace. That, you know, it was like, oh, that's good, at least that's happened, you know get back on it and have another baby, and that'll somehow take away that loss and that hurt. So I think I'm sure my family were almost relieved that that had happened for me. It just was treated like a completely normal everyday pregnancy, you know, congratulations. Particularly, I don't feel like friends maybe understood things. Like, I didn't want to make a big deal out of announcing it, you know. I didn't want the whole hoo-ha of it because I was so acutely aware that anything could go wrong right up until maybe I was like 36 weeks, you know. I think that's when I was kind of like, okay, do you know, this is in the safe zone now. I never got that kind of 3 months, you know, out of the danger zone kind of thing. But I did sort of experience, you know, friends maybe not accepting that I maybe didn't announce it in the right way to them, or things like that. And they were maybe a little bit upset that way, which I find really difficult, you know, because I didn't know how to communicate to them that this was actually really difficult. The pregnancy that ended in loss, I felt really prepared for that, you know, and I was really excited. And then the subsequent pregnancy just didn't have that same sort of height of emotion, you know, in the happy sense. Yeah, it was just riddled with kind of anxieties and things. So I did find that quite hard.
There's so many expectations about how you should be feeling and behaving during pregnancy. That's often doesn't really equate with how you might feel and behave during a pregnancy after a loss. And that can be difficult for everyone, it feels like. You yourself kind of saying, oh, you know, I'm not feeling the right way, or I'm sad that I'm not having this wonderful pregnancy. And then you end up sort of having to take that on as well, which I think can be quite difficult. Somebody being upset with you for not responding in the way that they think you should.
I know, and I don't think there's a right way. Do you know, it's just kind of... You just have to go with the weeks. It changes from week to week and day to day. And
what sort of support would you have found helpful from friends, who, if you would just have to say to other people who might be listening, you know, friends or family, what's the best support that they can offer to someone who's pregnant after a loss?
Things like saying, at least, you know, at least this, or at least you weren't that far along, or at least you weren't as bad as such and such. That's, I understand, because I've said those things before. Do you know, I have been the person receiving the news that someone has had a miscarriage, and I've been like, oh, well, thank goodness this and blah, blah, blah. And I know that they're trying to give assurance and be supportive, but I don't think you realize how unsupportive that is until you kind of experience it. Mm-hmm. And I think just belittling anybody's loss or anybody's pain or anybody's feelings over somebody else's just isn't healthy. So I think just making it normal to change kind of that language would be really helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
I think whenever you hear of somebody's loss, it's kind of an automatic instinct to try to say something that is kind of reassuring or that comes in to fix. And I think it's just the acceptance that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to take it away. And to be honest, if I had had support, probably nothing anybody said would have been the right thing. You know, I probably would have taken offense at everything because it was such a heightened state of emotion and it was so hard. And I think just offering your time, you know, how can I help, rather than you need to do this to make yourself better. I didn't want advice on how I should handle it. I just wanted someone to kind of listen or to kind of be there if I needed to cry or to not judge. If in general, if society made it more open that we were able to talk to, then people would know these things, you know. Mm-hmm. people would understand how to talk about it and how to approach the situation, not to try to take anything away, but just to offer your support. My husband would not be happy at me telling this story, but I know he obviously found it very challenging because he was experiencing that loss as well, but maybe he didn't have the physical kind of side of it. And even in the subsequent pregnancy, you know, he didn't have all of that kind of internal worry or that internal blame that it was somehow my fault, you know, that mm-hmm. physically, because I carried the child, that anything physically to happen would be my fault. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in the hospital when we were going for our the kind of scan to confirm that the loss had completed, and there was a poster on the wall and it said, you know, 1 in 4 pregnancies end in loss. And he kind of nudged me and he was like, oh my goodness, do you see that, 1 in 4? Do you know? And he was genuinely shocked and he was like, that makes you feel a bit better, doesn't it? And I understand where he was coming from in that, and I understand what he meant.
Yeah,
but in that moment, that didn't make me feel better. Do you know? No. It doesn't make me feel better that millions of people this happens to, because in that moment, my little world had kind of come apart. So
yeah, it's a hard thing for people to do, I think, is to just be with someone in their pain without this urge to
make it all better.
Yeah,
there's lots of steps to be made in kind of the medical side of things. You know, I remember going to every appointment, every scan, and having to retell the story about what had happened. And it was just horrible, you know, having to go to every appointment and going, well, you know, what's going on here? Or they would have asked me, so how far along are you? And then I had to go into the whole story of why I didn't know how far along I was. And I was just like, just look at my notes and find out. You know, so I'm fine now kind of talking about it as a whole. Mm-hmm. But having to rehash the actual event of it over and over again so soon, really so soon afterwards, it was horrible. I don't think it was ever taken into account, all of the worries that I would be having. You know, I just don't think there was anything in place to kind of safeguard me from that. I know how stressful this is. I know all of the worries. And it's not the case of a life for a life. And that even though, you know, that space has been filled in one sense, you know, there's still that little bit of a gap. So it's kind of honoring that and keeping that, you know, absolutely, a conversation open on that too. My son's called Noah. When I was pregnant with him, you know, it was just this overwhelming sense of joy, you know, because I was pregnant and I was very excited. And even now, you know, I think I have like a super special bond with him, that it's like I appreciate how special he is, and that he came at a time that I really needed, you know. And I think that's why he came when he did and in the circumstances that he did, because obviously I needed it at that time.
Yeah.
But there's still kind of that pining. Sometimes I feel guilty that he hasn't fully plugged that gap. There's still that kind of little want in me for that baby that would have been there. So